St. Tudfield's Parish Church is at Coed Poeth, a village about 4 miles west of Wrexham. In the churchyard stands a large stone cross with these words on it: "This cross commemorates Nurse Winifred Davis, who served as a missionary in Northeast Congo from 1946 and died a martyr on May 27th, 1967. And underneath the words are her favourite words from the Bible, found in Philippians 1:20. "Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." One day I hope some of you may go out to Coed Poeth Parish Church and go and have a look at that cross. Winifred Davis, of whom it speaks, was born at Coed Poeth in 1915. She was the second child of a Welsh watchmaker and an English-speaking mother who had Danish ancestry. She left school when she was 16 to become a dentist clerk in Wrexham, and because the job lacked prospects, she applied to Bootle General Hospital for nursing training when she was 19. Secretly, she wished she could be a doctor, but the truth was that she was never happy with books. And it was while she was at Bootle that the Holy Spirit gave her the repentance and faith which made Christ a bright reality to her. She used to say at the end of her testimony, "I love Christ with every fibre of my being." That was her personal response to the sacrifice Christ had made to put her right with God. Besides Bootle, she also worked at Smithtown Road Hospital and at Fazakerley. When she was 23, she qualified, and in 1941, she started a 3-year course at Emmanuel Bible College in Birkenhead. Her strength wasn't in passing examinations, but in the higher matters of practical holy living and serving Christ. Now, as time went by, the desire to be a missionary became more and more the desire of her life. The Congo was in her mind, and she was accepted by Worldwide Evangelization Crusade to go there in 1946. Now, at that time, Congo was the Belgian Congo. It was ruled by the Belgians. So she had to learn some French and Swahili, some particularly the medical terms. She felt especially drawn to work with the lepers, so she was sent to a place called Nibobongo, which was in the northeast of this huge country. There were 1,300 lepers there. Some of them were already Christians. Her motto in her nursing was always this: nothing but the best. In addition to her leprosy work, where she was often seen shaking hands with lepers, she did maternity work, she ran a daily dispensary, and she trained African nurses. Her time was never her own. She made the inevitable discovery that all missionary work is a continual spiritual struggle, particularly if it's done sacrificially. She was always aware of the dangers of lukewarmness and the lack of real communion with God, and her prayer letters constantly refer to the need for spiritual awakening. And then in 1953, the Congo was, in fact, awakened. Many became Christians for the first time. Existing Christians found that they were feeling God's presence in a new way. Stolen property was returned. Husbands and wives were reconciled. Churches were packed, and people ran to meetings in order to get a seat. Winnie hadn't been getting on very well with some of the Congolese Christians, and hidden sins such as that were put right, often publicly. She'd been 6 years in the Congo when that 1953 awakening occurred. Her first furlough was due, and she longed to come home to Coed Poeth and see her friends. She was away for over a year, and when she returned in 1955, she was sent to a different place, now to Opienge, also in the northeast part of Congo. And at this new station, she organized the building of a modern maternity unit. She ran her daily clinic, and she trained the nurses as she had done before. But she never forgot that the primary job was spiritual. Prayer letter dated 1957 says this: "My heart is on fire. I long for the salvation of souls. It is my daily cry." Now, by 1959, decolonization was on the political agenda. A Pan-African Congress was held that year, and the motto of it was "Africa for Africans." There were riots in Congo's main cities, and under pressure, the Belgian government named the 30th of June 1960 as Independence Day. But on Independence Day itself, Winnie's station showed its loyalty to the new government by flying the new flag. But 4 days afterwards, the Congolese army revolted and started to attack all white people indiscriminately. And within 1 week, 40,000 white people fled from Congo. The Belgian administrator for Opienge came into Winnie's village and said, "You must leave immediately. There is no time to pack. Go." So she joined a party of 27 other missionaries. They quickly got into an old beaten-up Opel and drove across the Ugandan border, and from there she flew home to Britain. She was due a furlough anyway, but during that year home, she was very restless to get back. "I'm straining at the leash to return," she would say at her meetings. "I know Congo is where God wants me to be." And finally, she made the decision that she would go the 700-mile journey from the east coast of Africa right the way across Kenya and then right the way across Uganda into northeast Congo. 700 miles alone. And she did it. And there she picked up her work where she had left it when she fled after independence in 1960. So the Congo was still politically unstable, and she wrote that she was the only European at Opienge. But she was happy, she said, because happiness didn't depend on creature comforts such as most Europeans had. She once reflected on the fact that she was glad that she had become a Christian while she was a young person. She wrote, "If I had my life over again, I wouldn't choose any other way. I don't want to rot out. I want to burn out." And at Opienge, she was in charge of a 3-roomed hospital with 14 beds, a 10-bed maternity unit, an outpatient dispensary where she saw about 3,000 people every year. But then, on the 14th of August, 1964, rebels known as Simbas, that's lions, captured Opienge, and they captured Nurse Winifred Davis in it. And for nearly 3 years, she dropped out of sight as their prisoner. Churches all over Britain prayed about her and what was happening to her. Informed opinion actually thought she was dead because the Simbas were killers. But the truth was that they had kept her alive because she said she was willing to nurse their own wounded men. And then in 1967, the National Army finally got on the trail of the Simbas, the rebels, who were holding Winnie Davis. She had malaria, she had other illnesses too. She was constantly being insulted and threatened, and all those precious mission buildings she had overseen in Opiengwe had all been smashed in front of her eyes. And then she was told if she couldn't keep up with the pace the Simbas were making as they avoided the National Army, they would make sure she was not left behind as a straggler in case she gave information away. Winnie's strength finally gave out and she collapsed. She was worn out by illness, lack of food, and total exhaustion. And because of that, they cut her throat. It was the 27th of May, 1967. But all their racist hatred of white people did was to send her to heaven, aged 51. Nurse Winifred Davis, you see, deserves to be remembered for her faithfulness to Christ in the most grim circumstances. Though she had so many connections with Merseyside and North Wales, she's now almost entirely forgotten, except, of course, by the Lord.